Would there ever be such a thing as a man who is not a Christian being a kind man? What shall we expect from those who are not Christians? Could a man who is not a Christian be a kind man? The answer to this question will come out as we study now in the book of Acts, in the 28th chapter, in the record that is given here of the experience of the Apostle Paul and the others from the ship that had been wrecked on the island, and they'd been cast on this island. And we're going to see the conduct of the people that were on this island toward these strangers who had come in. We're reading in Acts 28. So if you'll turn to the 28th chapter, the last chapter in the book of Acts, we're going to start reading at the first verse. When they were escaped, that is, when the sailors and soldiers and everybody had gotten off the ship, then they knew that the island was called Melita. Well, it is called Melita here in the book in the Bible, but you and I call it Malta. And if you look up in the atlas or any map, you will find that Malta is more or less in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, and not too far away from Italy, but still in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. And this is where they had been thrown up on this island. Verse 2, "And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold." It's a very practical statement. By the way, when it uses this term, the barbarous people, that is not referring to their conduct. That doesn't mean to say these people were barbaric, that they did things crudely. This is a way of saying they were not Greeks and they were not Romans. If they had been Romans, it would have been the Roman people. If they'd been Greeks, it would have been the Greek people. But these people were neither Romans nor Greeks, and it was customary among the Romans that anybody that wasn't a Roman and wasn't a Greek, they called him a barbarian. And that's what this is. These, you might say, these foreigners, perhaps, these people that weren't either Romans or Greeks or Jews, these were the barbarous people. And we read here, the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. And then he went ahead and described what the kindness was. The kindness was that they lit a fire and helped these poor people that had just been thrown into the water and had just gotten to shore any way they possibly could. It would be soaking wet and some of them shivering cold. And the natives built a fire to warm them. This is a good time for us just to pause and remark something for ourselves. Kindness is not peculiar to Christians. You can find kindness among people who are not Christian. Honor is not peculiar to Christians. You'll find some people that have honor who are not Christians. And attention to duty. You'll find some men who never go to church and have make no use at all of their confidence in God, and yet they have duty. They do their duty. Even charity. You'll find some people that are kind to the poor. They never go to church. Now, these various things, like as I have listed, like kindness and honor and duty and charity, which are not peculiar to Christians, are actually human traits. They're the kind of thing anybody could do. Now, it's to be sure a Christian should do these things, and he should have them in abundance, but they're not distinctive so far as he is concerned. You see, usually human action is determined by the situation that you're in. And you're going to act the way in which you do, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. And it's not when you're acting in this way, and you're acting this way because of the situation, your action is not necessarily contrary to the Lord's will, even if you weren't thinking about the Lord when you were doing it. In other words, if you were just doing the obvious thing before you, you might be doing the very thing that God wanted you to do. I repeat, much of what we do is actually determined by the situation that we're in. If you have children in your home, I'll tell you some things that you do. If you have children in your home, I'll just tell you one thing. You will see to it that they have their faces washed in the morning. If they're very small children, you will bathe them each day. If they are children at all in your home, you'll see to it that they have clean clothes. If they're older children, you will see to it that they take some part in the work of the home or that they do something to obey you. They're expected to obey you. If you happen to live on a community or you live in a spot where your house is near a highway and that highway is dangerous and your children play in the front yard, you probably take steps to make sure that they don't go out on the highway alone. Now, those things are natural. You don't do that because you're a Christian. You do that because you have some measure of common sense. Now, when it comes to the matter of being kind, it may be that you just are the kind of person that you want to be kind. Perhaps you want to be kind because of you think it ought to be done. Maybe you want to be kind because people like it and will approve you. Maybe you want to be kind because you'd like to have a reputation built up for being a kind person. There can be lots of reasons for being kind that are not specially because you're doing this thing for the Lord's sake. And this human action, which is usually determined by the situation that you're in, is not necessarily different from the Lord's will. If you were a Christian, you'd probably do the same thing. Now notice, for instance, in verse 3, we're going to read on, and by the way, I expect you saw why they were so cold. They had been thrown out into water, and there was a rain coming down too at the time, and the weather was cold, and they really needed something. So they needed this fire. Now when you come on to read in verses 3 on, you come to a very interesting part. Let me just read it to you. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. First things I want to bring to your attention is that Paul went out and gathered sticks for a fire. You'd say, well, why not? All right, wait a minute. Who was Paul? And you know right well that he had been accused of being the man that turned the world upside down. Paul in his own time was a rather famous preacher and a rather famous apostle and an evangelist. This man, Paul, was a prominent person. He had been so prominent, remember, that he practically took over the ship. He could talk to the captain as an equal. And many, many people tried to be as he was. Now, here he is in this situation, and this is what we see him doing, gathering sticks to build a fire. Here's a company of people throwing on the shore. They're cold and miserable, and it's wet. They need fire, and Paul is one of those who goes out and gets the sticks together. Reveals an attitude of humility, an attitude of industry that we're going to see will certainly be noticed by others and will be an actual help to him. Then I wanted to notice this too, that there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. You see, the wood was thrown there on the fire, and it got warm, and in the course of it, out of the inside of some branch or log that he threw down there, there came a viper, a snake, and fastened on his hand, bit him. This is to bring to our minds, among other things, one thought right now, that doing the will of the Lord, actually being where you're supposed to be, does not mean that you wouldn't participate in the work. You'll take part in the work. And it does not mean you wouldn't be in danger. Snake will bite you. The serpent bit Paul while he was doing a good work. In other words, because I'm doing a good thing is no guarantee that I'll have no trouble. Calamities can occur because they're in this world. They're just there. These calamities are implicit. Now take, for instance, when I'm driving a car. If I drive a car on the highway, and I meet hundreds of people in a day who are meeting me on the highway. Don't you know that the possibility of an accident is there? I invited the possibility of an accident when I got in my car. When I drove my car out on the highway, I put myself in the way for an accident to occur. This is not anything about any foreordination of God. This is not something that we're going to have to think in God in some special way did something about this thing. If I'm going to live that way, it just means that I am living in a situation where accidents can occur. And if they occur, I shouldn't be too greatly surprised. When I am doing these things, troubles can come, as we have noticed here with these people. Calamities can occur because we are in this world, as I have just been saying. Now look at verse 4. And when the barbarians, that's these natives, saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. That was their impression. They saw this viper bite him, they saw this snake bite him, and they said right away, the gods must be very angry with this man, because if they couldn't get him in the sea, they're going to get him this way. Now that's what they said about it. That was their opinion. And I want to draw your attention to this common fallacy of judging from appearances. That's a dangerous business. They saw that the snake bit him, and they said right away, he must be bad. That is an unwarranted, unnecessary, and altogether unwise assumption. You're going to find it as we're going along here in studying. You'll see it over and over again. You'll find this to be true. Now in verse 5, he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Paul escaped unharmed. Whatever else you make out of that sentence at that point, I can tell you there's no panic so far as Paul is concerned. Now in verse 6, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. The opinion of people. At one time when the snake bit him, they said, see, he's such a bad man, and when he couldn't be destroyed one way, the ship wouldn't sink with him, and he came home ashore. Now the snake bites him. He must be an awfully bad man. So it turned out he wasn't harmed. And where the snake bit him did not actually shorten his life, apparently. There's no way we know. But he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Then they said right away, he must be a saint. In other words, when they said he must be a wicked man, that wasn't true. And now when they say he must be a saint, that isn't true. This draws to our attention the fickle nature of public opinion. And then if we go on from here, we're going to see that Paul is dealing with these people further. But I think maybe in this last moment, let's pause and think about this sort of thing again. You can't go by what people say. You can't go by their judgment. If things are going favorable, they'll think you must be awfully good. And if they go against you, they'll think that you must be wicked. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to maintain a good testimony, so that we may be found faithful to Thee at all times. For Thy name's sake, we ask it. Amen.